Please stand by. We're about to begin. Good day, everyone, and welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange conference call. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the call over to Elaine Papanikolaou. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Steve, and thank you, everyone, for your patience in getting started here. We welcome you to today's WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. This call is being recorded, and early next week, an MP3 file and the presentation will be available for you on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. If you have not joined the e-meeting yet, please do so. The e-meeting URL is posted on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Today's presenter is Prasad Amandi. Prasad is the team lead for WebSphere Message Broker Level 2 support. He's worked with the Message Broker product since the first release, MQSI. He has led the support team for all Message Broker releases, beginning with MQSI all the way through the latest release, which is WebSphere Message Broker version 6. Prasad works with clients worldwide troubleshooting their Message Broker issues. And today's topic is troubleshooting WebSphere Message Broker hints and tips. The webcast includes a PowerPoint presentation. During the presentation, all the lines will be muted. Following the presentation, I'll ask the attendees to answer just a few quick questions using some polling, and after that, we'll open the lines for a question and answer period. If you join the e-meeting, you should be seeing the presentation. If you are unable to access the e-meeting or you're not seeing the presentation, please access this presentation from the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site by clicking View Presentation, or just go to any IBM.com page. Go up to the top of the page in the black section and type this document number, 700-7638, in the search box, 700-7638. That'll take you to a technical document that will allow you to view the PDF file. At this time, I'm going to turn the presentation over to Prasad Amandi.
Thank you, Elaine. Welcome to the session, Troubleshooting WebSphere Message Broker Hints and Tips. My name is Prasad Amandi, and over the next less than an hour or so, we are going to talk about the troubleshooting functionality provided in WebSphere Message Broker. And I'm not limiting myself specifically to version 6. Whatever discussion that we're going to have is applicable to all supported broker versions, which means the latest WebSphere Message Broker version 6. The one before that was WebSphere Business Integration Message Broker version 5. And the oldest release that's still currently in support is WebSphere MQ Integrator version 2.1. Now, Some of the information I'll talk about is specific to the version 5 and version 6 products. And even though you might think that the names are different between these versions, I just want to let you know, in case you're new to the broker product, these versions, they're all the same product. It's just that over the past three versions, with every new version, the product has acquired a new name, but functionally it's pretty much the same. Next slide, please. Here's a quick look at the agenda for this session. We're going to start by talking about how does the broker work. It's very important to understand the functional aspects of the broker, the internal, the various components and the internal communication that happens between these components. And it's very important to understand that information, especially when you're looking at a product from a troubleshooting point of view. I'll spend a few minutes talking about that before we talk about which log files do I check if I have to monitor the broker, or if there's an error, and if I were to go look for information, what are the logs that I first that would provide me the initial information. And followed by that, we'll talk about user-level tracing, which is an excellent functionality provided in this product. And then we'll look at debugging functionality, where we'll talk about using a trace node primitive and a flow debugger, which is a very extensive and an excellent tool for developers to debug their message flows. And After that, we'll briefly talk about a new functionality called Accounting and Statistics, which is introduced in version 5 of the product and is also there in version 6. While Accounting and Statistics mainly is can be looked at as functionality used for chargeback purposes, it can also be used from a troubleshooting point of view to gather statistics about that will show performance of a flow. And after that, I have some information, I think a single foil, which in which I briefly am going to talk about advanced troubleshooting, where we'll look at other trace facilities available. And then finally, we'll end with a foil on must-gather information, where if you were to call us, IBM support, what information would we require to quickly investigate your problem? And of course, lastly, there are a few recommended must bookmark websites that I think everyone should bookmark if you're working with the broker product. Next slide, please. This is just a notes slide, and I'll take a minute here and let you know that throughout the presentation, I've introduced notes for many of the foils, where I've captured commands, examples, and I'll keep referring to the notes foils. In case you're having difficulty viewing the slideshow, I would recommend you follow through the PDF file that's available. And also, before we start, the PDF file has been refreshed, I think, yesterday, so I would recommend that you, in case you've downloaded it before yesterday, I would suggest you download the PDF file and follow along. Next file, please. This is a chart that has, I hope most of you have seen this chart before. It captures the entire broker product and all the components that that are a part of the broker product. A broker is a multi-component product, and it actually has 5 components, though 3 of them are the main components we're going to talk about, and I'll briefly mention about the 2 other components. The 3 main components that functionally, collectively provide, comprise the broker product are the toolkit, which is the tooling component where developers put their message flows together. They code their message flows using primitive nodes or plugin nodes, custom plugin nodes, and also they design messages using message sets. And the toolkit under the covers acts as an MQ Java client to talk to the next important component, which is the configuration manager component, using an MQ Servercon channel. The channel is called systembkrconfig, and the toolkit, when you establish a connection to the configuration manager, uses this MQ series Servercon channel. The configuration manager is an administrative component that manages a broker topology or a domain topology, which can contain one or multiple brokers. Now, in the older release, version 2.1, the configuration manager needed required 2 DB2 databases to store message repository information and administrative information. In version 5, with the change in the tooling from a native Java-based control center to the Eclipse-based toolkit, the message repository is moved over to the toolkit component where it's stored as in a flat file system. But still, the configuration manager needed 1 database in version 5 to store administrative data. Now, moving forward to version 6, the configuration manager does not require an external database, DB2 database. It still uses the data store internally, but it doesn't require anything external, and it's self-sufficient, and also in version 6 it is supported across multiple platforms and not limited to Windows. Right, moving along, the next, of course, the next main component is the broker itself, which is the main workhorse, if you will, which processes your message for us at runtime. The broker component is a multi-processor, multi-task component where it has one process. It's called as the admin agent process, which oversees the number of other processes, which are called as the data flow engine processes at a physical level, if you look at the process running on the machine, or at a logical level, the execution groups. An execution group is nothing but an entity that runs your message flows, and it's more provided for you to have the ability to group logically related message flows together. And it's not limited in any way as to what message flow you can assign to an execution group. It's totally up to how you devise your broker and the number of execution groups you may have. These execution groups, which physically they are the data flow engine processes, they run the message flows as threads within the process, which and each thread runs a message flow and it processes the message from a source client application and according to the logic that you've coded, and it sends out to the target application. Now, if you notice, while as I was giving you this introduction on the broker, there are two key prerequisites, which is MQ series and a database. Now, any inconsistencies, since the broker relies on the good functioning of this prerequisite, any inconsistencies within MQ series, for example, queues or channels, or any inconsistencies in the database, can easily affect the functioning of the broker. In case I haven't said before, the communication between configuration manager and the broker is the broker runtime component is using an MQ series sender receiver channel pair. Next slide, please. This is a brief notes of what we just discussed, and I wanted to kind of start off with quick introduction, even though most of you probably are aware about it, because from a troubleshooting point of view, it's important to understand the flows, the communications that go back and forth, which will greatly help quickly narrow down the scope of a problem. Next slide, please. Right. What logs do I check? What log files do I check? The broker provides an extensive logging mechanism, and it uses multiple logs, actually. So and for this presentation, I've tried to separate them out to make it as clear as possible, where if the messages are administrative and runtime, for example, the messages we're talking about are component start-stop, where component is, as we just looked at, configuration manager or the broker, and if there are any exceptions, like message processing exceptions, these are the kind of messages that I refer to as administrative messages, and these messages get recorded in the system log facility, where on Windows it is the Event Viewer application log, and on Unix it is a syslog. And the syslog needs to be configured. This information is provided in the notes page for this chart. And on ZOS or ZOS, depending on the version of the broker product, it could either go to the syslog or to the console or the job log for the address space. Next slide, please. This is notes for the chart we just looked at, which talks about the source ID on Windows. That you can search for in case you have an extensive Windows event log. For WMQI 2.1, the source ID is WMQI V2.1. For version 5, it is BIP V500, and version 6, it's WebSphere Broker V6000. these are the Windows eventualities. While on Unix and ZOS, the log, the messages appear with the prefix of BIP, which is the product prefix for message broker. So those are the messages that you need to look for and match with the timestamp. And when you match with the timestamp, it should tell you a good picture about the state of the broker. There is a URL I've provided on this notes page, which talks about, which actually leads you to a diagnostic message lookup page, where you can quickly plug in like a number, say BIP 2322 or 1004, and you can quickly look up the message if you need to. And I've also provided information about this log configuration. Next slide, please. Right, we talked about administration and runtime messages. Now let's which go into the operating system logs. Where it is on Windows, it's the event log, and on Unix, it's the syslog, and on ZOS, it's the address space job log or syslog. Let's take a look at the application errors and status messages. By application errors, I refer to these errors as logic errors, flow development, which occur during flow development, which could occur because of an ESQL syntax problem. A problem with the message set that's being developed. And these are the errors that you can expect to see in the toolkit tasks view or the problems view in the broker application development perspective. And further to that, status messages, as in message flow start stop, an execution group, you know, whether an execution group is running or not, these are the messages that you can expect to see in the toolkit alerts view or the operations view in the control center. Now, do keep in mind that the status messages for the broker, for example, broker start stop, execution group start stop, they also get recorded in the syslog or the Windows event log. However, the toolkit alerts view provides a much granular level of information where it also shows the message flow status, whether it's running or not. Next file, please. While I was trying to group the broker error reporting, I decided I'll separate out and talk a little bit about deploy messages because, as most of you probably are aware, one of the key functionalities that you'd be doing, some of you may be doing pretty much on a daily basis, while some of you might be doing every once every few days, and the functionality is deploys. After the messages are developed, you have to deploy these. After the message flows are developed, you have to deploy these message flows. And likewise, if there is a change or a new release, you'll need to deploy them to your production environment. I want to talk about deploy specifically because this is an area where we've been seeing a lot of problems, not necessarily due to the product, but in terms of the communication going back and forth, problems in terms of the underlying infrastructure. And so I decided I'll talk about it and provide you with some further additional logging capability, where typically when you do a deploy, you'd see response messages in the toolkit broker domain event log or the log view in the control center. Well, I have a screenshot that shows the event log in just a minute. However, if you want further monitoring of deploys, not necessarily because you have a problem, but generally, on a very general note, if you're the administrator and if you want to check exactly how your deploys are working, you have the ability to set an environment variable called MQSI_show_deploy, which can be set to a 1 in the broker startup environment, which means the broker has to be restarted after you set this environment. And this environment will cause the broker and the configuration manager to log additional messages. The messages show up as BIP 8099i, and you can actually see the communication, the internal communication that happens on a deploy, including responses coming back and acknowledgements going back and forth. A very helpful facility generally could be used to monitor deploys, not necessarily, you know, when only when you have problems. Next file, please. This is the chart which shows the graphic image, so the screen refresh is going a little slow. What I did is I took a screen print of the toolkit just so I can show you the event log that is within the domain under the in the toolkit in the domains window, where if you look at the left lower corner, you'd see the domains view, and the last functionality there under the broker topology is the event log, I highly recommend you have this event log open. You can double click on the event log to open the window that you see in the middle there, which is event log, and it shows the deploy response messages. This image also shows you the tasks and alerts, but pretty much this is the version 5 and version 6 toolkit, and I must say here's where I'm not talking specifically about 2.1, but I'm more focusing on the new versions, just because in case you're not aware, 2.1 is pretty much close to the end of service, I was hoping when I was putting this presentation together, I was hoping that most of you are running version 5 and version 6 of Message Broker. Next file, please. Right, we looked at the quick introduction of how the broker works, and we looked at what log files you should monitor. From a health check point of view, or from a troubleshooting point of view, let's move on to the next troubleshooting functionality that the broker provides for you, which is a basic user-level flow trace. There are multiple levels of tracing that is possible, and I'm only going to talk about user-level flow trace right now. We'll look at some other tracing later in the advanced troubleshooting topic. A user-level flow trace is an excellent facility which will allow developers to trace their flow. It can get as specific as tracing the message flow I've put together from a point of validation of the path that the message is flowing, or from the point of I'm trying to process, I'm trying to test my message flow, and I hit a problem, and I want to know exactly which node and what's the exception. So it can be used either for basic validation of the path that the message is flowing, or, again, from a troubleshooting point of view, you can run to get basic information. Can be enabled from a toolkit. The way you enable it from a toolkit is to right-click on the message flow and enable start trace. Likewise, you can disable from a toolkit as well. However, now that you know that it's not necessary that the toolkit and the broker are running on the same machine, the runtime could be remote, which means the broker could be running on a remote machine where when you enable the trace, the toolkit is going to send a message to the broker requesting it to start the trace. And so the trace formatting must be done on the broker machine. In the notes page following this chart, I've given the commands that you need to format the trace. I've also included the command to start the trace on the broker machine, not necessarily from the toolkit. You could use the timestamps in the trace to check information like how much time it took to process a message, how much time each node is taking to process a message, and from that you can get some basic performance information in terms of which node is the most intensive node or time-taking node. And lastly, of course, keep in mind the trace is circular, which means if you are running with The default trace file size, which is 4 meg, there's a good possibility that trace could get overwritten. So depending on the extensiveness of your flow logic, you may want to increase the trace file size. And yet also keep in mind that once you've completed your tracing, you must stop the tracing. Otherwise, it will not be obvious for you that the trace is running, yet it could be running in the background and might slow down the flow a little bit. It's not as intense as other trace mechanisms, but still, it's important that you stop your tracing after you're done. There is a command to check on the status of a trace. It's called MQSI report trace. So if you're in doubt whether a trace is active or not, or any message flow, you can always run the command. Next slide, please. This is the notes page. I'm not going to spend much time on this. I'll leave this for you to read. Next slide, please. While I'm waiting for the refresh to go through, I'm just going to start by saying that this is a quick look at a trace snippet. I want to highlight some of the fields that could be of interest here, fields like timestamp, flow name, node name. These are details that you need to look for if you were to look at a user-level flow trace. And then basic errors, for example, if you look at the error here, it's a simple data type mismatch error that's occurring within a message flow. These are the basic errors that you can quickly investigate and go back and correct in your flow. There is also a thread ID in there. I wouldn't expect you to use the thread ID, but I've included it for completeness. We typically use thread IDs to separate out traces for threads when we receive extensive amount of trace data. But I figured I'll let you know what that number 3540 stands for. Next file, please. Here's another trace snippet. I mean, the reason I wanted to include this is to show you how you can find out if there's a performance problem. As you can see, the message was propagated down to a tri-terminal, and then subsequently it comes out of the out terminal of a compute node. And if you closely look at the timestamps, which I've highlighted in red, there is a 10-second latency between this processing, which is there's a 10-second latency within the compute node, which I consider as a very extensive performance issue, because for every message, if it's taking 10 seconds, obviously there's something going on. This is the kind of information that you can expect from a user-level flow trace, and in this scenario, of course, you'd have the ability to go check in the compute node to see exactly what's happening and why it's taking 10 seconds. In this specific scenario, this was the real scenario which we investigated. In this specific scenario, we found out that there's quite a bit of latency occurring within some database interaction, an application database interaction within the compute node. Next slide, please. Now that we looked at the user-level flow tracing, let's move on to the next troubleshooting functionality that's available for you, which is debugging your message flows. Now, there are a couple of facilities available provided by the Message Broker product to debug your message flows. One is a very simple trace node, a primitive node that is provided to you out of the box that gives you the ability to drag and drop it at any point in your message flow and get a snapshot of the message. Now, the advantage of using a trace node is by printing snapshots of messages between, let's say, before a compute node and after a compute node, or right after an MQ input node and right before an MQ output node, it would show you the message that's going in and the message that's going out, giving you a certain amount of validation of your flow logic and to confirm that, yes, your logic is working correct. You will need to configure trace node, of course, to get the data that you like to get. A common configuration, some of the common configuration parameters are listed here, which is $root, which gives out the entire tree. You can go for just the message body by $body, Or you can also go explicitly to specific sections of your message by further qualifying the dollar body. And the exception list gives you an exception tree if there is a problem in the processing the message. And the local environment is, of course, an environment tree that the message flow developers could use to hold local environment variables. Trace node needs to be configured to provide a destination, which can be a local error log, in which case the snapshot of your the output goes to the system log, event log on Windows, or syslog on Unix and ZOS. Or you can configure to a user trace, which means it will go to a user trace level, but keep in mind that the trace must be active for the data to be captured. Or it could be something as simple as just a flat file where you specify a file name, it gets recorded to that. Now, if you are configuring for a local error log, do keep in mind that on Unixes there is a limitation on the size of data that can be recorded to syslog, and it's 24 bytes. The snapshot of your message tends to get pretty big usually, so we've seen scenarios where users were trying to write trace node output to the local error log or the syslog on Unix, and it was getting truncated. Next file, please. This is a notes file, which is showing you a very basic sample of what you can expect in a trace node. As you can see, I went for a dollar root snapshot, which is providing me with the properties, which message that's being used, and what format. And besides providing me with the message that's at the bottom of this chart, I can also see the MQMD header and the various fields in there. Next file, please. The next troubleshooting functionality from debugging message flow's point of view is the flow debugger itself, which is a very extensive tool, a utility that's provided with all versions of the message broker. I'm going to talk about flow debugger in version 5 and version 6. There's a big difference between version 2.1 and the other releases in from a visual debugging or the debugger point of view, as well as from the tooling point of view, because we moved away from the native Java tooling we had on WMQI 2.1, which was known as the Control Center, to a more functional Eclipse-based toolkit at version 5 and at version 6. And the Flow Debugger is, as I was saying a while ago, it's a visual debugging tool that allows the developer to attach a debugger to the message flow to have the ability to introduce a breakpoint, which will provide a snapshot of the message at that point, essentially stopping the flow. So it's pretty much similar to a source code debugger. I'm sure most of you probably have used C debuggers or Java debuggers, but this is pretty much similar, where it allows you the ability to stop at breakpoints and validate your message, take snapshots of your message, which you might think is similar to trace node output. So what's different? The big difference here is you can alter the message. If it stopped at a breakpoint, you can go check the message, and you can change the message content, change some of the fields, play the message in to see how you get. So in a nutshell, you can test all paths of your flow logic to see how the message is playing out and the behavior of your flow. It's an excellent tool that is available for you. You could not only debug just basic message flows, but you can also debug ESQL, you can debug Java nodes, mapping nodes, and we're going to talk about it in just a minute. The way this debugger is provided is through a debug perspective in the toolkit, and I'm going to show you the debug perspective on the next file. I believe I have a snapshot of it. Next file, please, Elaine. Right, this should be the debug perspective snapshot that is coming up. I apologize for the slowness and the refresh. Obviously, it's taking a while for the graphic to print. But when you see this image, you could see that the you could see your message flow in there, and you can introduce breakpoints, which are denoted by the small yellow circles in your message flow on the connections, and you have a window that shows variables, a view that shows variables, and this is pretty much what a debug perspective would look like. And I just wanted to let you know. And the way you start this is by switching to debug perspective and clicking on the small bug icon, which is there in the menu. Next slide, please. The next slide is a snapshot of the variables that the debug perspective would show, and the tree gets pretty extensive, and I was unable to capture all the information. I just expanded a couple of details, properties, and message descriptors for you to see there. But if you kind of scroll further down on this, when you see this window, you would see that you also have the message, and you'll be able to edit the message fields. Next file, please. Now, when you talk about flow debugging from a troubleshooting point of view, do keep in mind that flow debugging facility uses a component that we haven't talked about till now. It's called an agent controller component that runs on the broker machine. And it's important that the configuration on the toolkit matches with the configuration for the agent controller, more specifically the port number that you're configured on your default configuration wizard for the flow debugger should be the same port number that the agent controller is listening on. The default is 10,002. However, you have the ability to change this port in case you have a conflict, because if you have other programs that use 10,002 in your enterprise. The way you can change it in the agent controller is by editing the service config.xml file, and Notes has further details about what you edit. And from the toolkit point of view, the way you edit change the default port is by clicking on Windows Preferences, Message Broker Debug. Now, this is a version 6 property. However, if you are in version 5, I believe it is Windows Preferences Flow Debug that you want to look at. There are some minor changes between version 5 and version 6, but largely the functionality is similar, and whatever I'm talking about is applicable to both these versions. Next file, please. The next file is a note that shows you the configuration of agent controller and how you can change the port. You can change it through the configuration file, more specifically looking for an attribute called port in the element agent controller configuration, which by default will be set to 10,002 when you install agent controller. Note, agent controller must be restarted to pick up this change. It's important to restart it because it reads the configuration file on startup. Next file, please. The next file shows you a screenshot of the debug configuration wizard, which is how you really start debugging. You click on Run, which is right at the top, one of the drop-down selections, and you click on Run, and then you debug. That brings up your debug configuration wizard. And in the Connect pane, you choose all your message flow projects. You select the message flow. And in host name, you enter your host, which is the broker machine, but that's who the debugger should connect to because that's where the flow is running. And once you establish that connection, you click on the button Browse. It's going to pop-up window which shows the execution loops that are running. Now, something I want you to make note of is it's very important that from a debugging point of view, you must connect to the execution group that is running this flow that you're trying to debug. I had an interesting scenario a few days ago where breakpoints were not getting hit on this flow, and I was trying to debug, and breakpoints were not getting hit. And of course, this was a user scenario as well. And when we started looking at it, after investigating for a little while, we found out that the flow was actually running in execution group B, to which the debugger is connected fine. I mean, the debugger connects fine. The flow is running in execution group B. The debugger is connected fine to execution group B without any errors. But when we really looked at it, the flow is running in execution group A. So obviously the debugger will not be able to debug this flow because it's not running in the correct execution group. Do keep that in mind. It's important you make sure you're connecting to the correct execution group for breakpoints to work. Next slide, please. The next, I'm waiting for a minute for the refresh to go through. The other points to note when you're debugging, and if you're having debugging, flow debugging problems, is do you have a firewall? Now, we know that Flow Debugger works through TCP/IP communication with agent controller, and if you have a firewall, the debugger, and for flow debugging to work, you will need to open up all your ports between Toolkit and Agent Controller. Now, I know this doesn't sound good at all because some of the enterprises have very strict guidelines on firewall security. So this has been changed with the new Agent Controller version. If you're running older version Agent Controller at version 5 or even the Agent Controller that you received on your CD with version 6, unfortunately, for that agent controller to work, you will have to open up all your ports on the firewall. However, if you were to move on to agent controller version 6.0.1, agent controller 6.0.1 provides the facility to work in an environment with firewall. It does need to be configured, though. By default, it works similar to the earlier versions of agent controller. The configuration is provided in the notes. We'll look at the notes in just a minute. Obviously, you'll need to open up this one port. If you're using Agent Controller 6.0.1, you still need a port for communication, and you'll need to open up the port in the firewall. The other gotcha in this area is security on Agent Controller. At install time, typically the Agent Controller asks you what hosts you want to allow to communicate, and the selections, if I recall, are all hosts, or you can give the names, specifically you can give some names of host names, and the third is just local host. You can subsequently go and modify this property again through the configuration file, and I'll provide the information in the notes section. But it's important for you to know that this is another gotcha where if your flow debugging is not working, you definitely want to check that the toolkit machine is allowed to communicate with the agent controller. Otherwise, it's not going to work. And of course, the agent controller and broker must be running for the flow debugging to work. Otherwise, it will not respond. Next slide, please. This is the notes page I was talking about a little while ago, which provides you information on how you configure Agent Controller version 6.0.1 in a firewall environment. And also, this gives you notes about how you change the selections you made at install time from a security point of view. I'm going to leave this for you to read, and I'll move on. In the interest of time, I'll move on to the next file. Next file, please. As we talked a little while ago, it's possible, the debugger, flow debugger is a very powerful tool, and it's possible for you to debug Java nodes. However, if you're debugging Java nodes, there's yet another configuration that needs to be done, which is you'll need to set up a JVM debug port on the toolkit, and you'll need to also configure the JVM within the execution group to use this JVM debug port, just so the Java plugin or Java source code at runtime can be debugged. Also note that you'll need to, when you configure the toolkit for JVM for Java debugging, you'll need to select debug Java source code on the default configuration wizard, and I'll show you the screenshot in just a minute, and also you'll need to add your source Java project. Next slide, please. This is the default configuration wizard, which, if you notice, I'll give it just a few more seconds for the screen to refresh. Right, if you notice, we now moved on to the next pane. Earlier, I think the last screenshot you saw was I was showing you the connect pane, which had the host name and the message for the project that you select. Now we moved on to the next pane, which is Java debug setting, where you provide the Java port number that is to be used for Java debugging. Now, there's also, next file, please. There's also, if you notice, the next tab is the source tab, and as the screen refreshes in the next file, I believe I've captured a screen print of that, which is where you provide, you add your Java project that is needed for the message flow and that you are going to debug. Right, moving on to, as you can see on this screen print, I've added a simple Java Compute Node Java source project for debugging. Next file, please. Now, we talked about configuring the debug port for JVM on the toolkit. Let's talk about how you configure it on the execution group. On the execution group, the way you configure it is using the NQSI change properties command, where you modify the object com IBM JVM manager and you provide a new field JVM debug port. Now, do keep in mind it's absolutely essential for this port number to match with the toolkit port number for Java debugging to work. And also, it's very important that the JVM debug port is unique. You cannot have multiple developers debugging Java on the same broker using same port numbers. We had an interesting situation where this was attempted, and it was found that the data, of course, was getting the wires were crossed, so the data was developer, the data from developer A was going to developer B, and the data from developer B was going to developer A. It was a very interesting problem, and we found out that the JVM debug port being used was not unique, and so the wires were getting crossed. Requires a broker restart because the execution group has to pick up this change, and this change is actually, when you change this property, it's stored in the database, the broker database, for subsequent restarts, and the execution group on restart picks up the change. Next slide, please. The important thing to remember when you're debugging a flow using a flow debugger is the flow must be successfully deployed. So it's always been my recommendation that before you start your flow debugger on a message flow, process a test message, just a simple test message on the flow to make sure that the flow is deployed successfully, to make sure that the message is not just sitting on the input queue for whatever reason. You know, once you get the validation that the test message is processed successfully, that's a good indication that the flow is successfully deployed, it's working, it's running, and now your flow debugger can attach to it. So it's the basic prereq that the flow must be deployed and running before you can debug. You can add, open your message flow and add breakpoints and to debug ESQL, Java, or mapping nodes or subflows, add a breakpoint just before the node, and while debugging, you can select the function step into code, which will step you into the source code, the Java source code or ESQL source code. You have the ability to set breakpoints within ESQL, Java, or subflows, just like you have the ability to set breakpoints in a straight, simple flow. For a subflow, it's not step into code, but it is step into the flow. And, of course, once you start processing a message, you should see your breakpoints are getting hit. And you can happily start your debugging. Next follow, please. Right, let's move on to the next functionality we have here. I'm going to talk a little bit about accounting and stats. I'm running just a few minutes behind. I apologize for that. I should be finishing up in a few minutes here. Accounting and stats is a functionality that is provided with version 5 and version 6 brokers. And what it really provides is it records runtime behavior of the flow dynamically in a very non-intrusive way without any performance overhead at all. So when you start accounting in stats, it doesn't reflect the, it doesn't decrease the performance of the flow in any way. It provides very good information, a wealth of information about the runtime functionality of the flow, which could be used from a troubleshooting point of view. It could be used for flow performance measurements. You don't need any administrative changes to request statistics. It's through a command, MQSI change flow stats, and output can be in different formats depending on how you require it. It can be a user trace or an XML publication message where you subscribe to the topic. And of course, on ZOS, it would show up as SMF 117 type records, which can be used for chargeback purposes. The next file, Elaine, next file, please. The next file shows you a snapshot of the data that you can expect to see. And I have highlighted some of the fields that are of interest. If you look closely, this accounting and statistics also not only captures information like number of messages processed, CPU time used, and the size of the messages processed, but it also captures information like total number of errors encountered. And so this is the kind of information that you can use from a troubleshooting point of view to see how your flow is behaving over a period of time. If you want to know how many messages did I process from 8 o'clock in the morning till later in the day, you can use accounting and statistics for that. Next file, please. Going on to, this is a note that tells you how to start and stop accounting and statistics or flow statistics. I'll leave this for you to review. Next file, well, as we move on, next file, please. This takes us into advanced troubleshooting functionality. Up until now we talked about the troubleshooting functionality available in a broker that you could use for health check or for checking on monitoring errors or investigating problems on your own. Basically, we looked at logs, we looked at user trace, we looked at trace notes, we looked at flow debugger functionality. Now, moving on to, if you're wondering, okay, you investigate the problem and you want to know what else can be done to investigate the problem further. Of course, you can always call IBM support. But I want to talk a little bit about what else is available. A broker, or let me say an execution group, whenever it encounters an exception, depending on the severity of the exception, if it's a termination exception, it generates an event file, which can be found in the MQSI workpath/errors directory. And the way you can find your MQSI workpath is by issuing a command MQSI service on the component. If your broker name is broker1, issuing a command like MQSI service space broker1 will give you the MQSI workpath. And the errors directory is where event files are recorded, and typically this would be a very severe exception resulting in an execution group termination that would result in an event file. The event file would contain a stack trace leading to the failure. The reason I wanted to include this information here is mainly because with version 6, we've made it, the event files much more useful to you in the sense that you can actually find out which message flow might have caused the event file. I'll show you an example in just a minute. One of the things I found out working extensively with users is the errors directory doesn't seem to be getting cleared. It's of course, you'll need to make sure you clean up your system every now and then. I'd recommend you periodically take a look and, you know, clean up any stale files in there so you can quickly correlate. If you have a severe problem that needs to be quickly looked at, you don't have to go through tens and tens or hundreds of these files in the directory. You can quickly kind of match an event file and investigate the stack. Or you can call us and provide us that one single event file, and we can quickly get down to the bottom of that. Next file, please. This is a notes, a sample. Actually, it's a notes file showing a sample of a version 6 event file. If any of you have noticed, have looked at early event files, you readily see that version 6 event file is a lot more different. You can actually see the message flow name in there under failure location. Now, keep in mind, this is a functionality that's provided with 6.pack.1 on version 6. So if you're still running base version 6, I think you would see the older format of the event file, but with version 6 6.pack.1, we've improved it much further. Next file, please. Besides event files, of course, there are other advanced troubleshooting techniques available, which you probably have heard about these from IBM support team, where if your user trace doesn't help you request a service level trace, then if you have any startup problems, there's a way to get those level trace on startup. I'm not giving you the commands for this just because if we really need to go to this level of tracing, I recommend you get the support center involved just because this tracing is performance intensive. It gives a lot more internal details which you will not be able to quickly correlate without having the source code. So this is just for completeness. I thought I'll include the information to make you aware that, yes, there is several other trace mechanisms available that the broker product provides. Next file, please. The next file, I believe, should pretty much bring us to an end. I think I kind of overshot my time here by 8 minutes or so. Right, a quick look at must-gather information, which is information that the IBM support requests you, typically if you were to open up a PMR. It's very important to provide these details. One is product maintenance level, broker environment, log files, and event files if any related, and of course, not to mention a good description of the problem. And I've provided a URL below, which is the must-gather website. And if you're curious about advanced trace mechanisms, which we talked about, service-level tracing commands, you're welcome to take a look at the must-gather website. Actually, all the commands are documented there, and they are available. However, as I was saying earlier, it's not recommended you run those commands yourself without getting IBM support involved. And that pretty much concludes this presentation. There are a couple of more files which I'm going to leave for you to review. Elin, can we move on to the next file, please? These are recommended, or I'd say must bookmark websites. There are three files of these websites. I know that's a lot of bookmarks, but depending on the extensiveness of your involvement with the broker, as a minimum, you might want to look at the URLs on the first page there, on the first page of the website, the bookmark page, which gives you a quick, provides you a quick way to find the latest maintenance levels, known problems, and so on and so forth. And then, of course, there is an additional WebSphere product resources section. And with that, I'd like to thank you for being patient and joining this session. I apologize again for the overrunning my time here. I think I went beyond by about 10 minutes. And thank you very much for being patient with me.
Thank you very much, Prasad, for a great presentation. And we do want to thank everybody for staying with us on this We had some difficulties to begin with, and the screen painting was a little bit slow. What I would like to do now is actually, Steve, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. If you would open up the lines, I'd like to give everyone the opportunity to ask some questions so we can have our question and answer session right now.
Okay. And if you'd like to ask a question or have a comment, press star 1 on your touchtone telephone. Please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 for questions or comments, and we'll pause to give everyone a chance to signal. And at this time, there are no questions. Oh, we do have a question. We'll go to Ron Dykes.
Hi. Yes. I had a question regarding the MPSI show deploy. Is that a FixPack 1 enhancement?
Hold on. No, the MQSI show deploy environment variable has been in the product for a while now.
Okay, I don't see it in the Information Center. The only thing I see was MQSI deploy progress.
Right, this is an environment variable that is not in the documentation.
Oh, it's
and
not.
We are aware about this. This is an environment variable, and I'll take this offline with the documentation folks to see if we can get this documented. But initially, the way it started was we needed something, we needed more information to quickly troubleshoot deploy problems. So this was introduced in the service screen as an environment variable to gather more details. But subsequently, and this was introduced, as if I recall, way back in WMQI 2.1, and ever since has been there. So it's always been there in version 5 and version 6. It's just that it's been more a service-related environment variable and never really went into a mainstream product documentation.
Okay, what does the MPSI deploy progress tell you? That says in the documentation for the BIP profile member that it shows deployment progress by execution group?
MQSI deploy progress, to be honest with you, I haven't used this, and I'm not aware if this is something specific to ZOS. This is something I'll need to check into and get back to you, Ron. I apologize. Is that okay with you?
That's fine.
And you said it's MQSI deploy progress?
Progress, yeah. MQSI underscore deploy underscore progress.
Thank you. I will, we have always been using the show deploy. Now, if there is an MQSI underscore deploy underscore progress, I'll need to check into that and find out if it is specific to any particular platform, and we'll let you know.
Okay, thank you. And one other question, the MQSI service command, I'm assuming you have to set up a path to the broker execute the bin library or path within the product itself. So where you have the software installed, you have to set in your profile,
yes.
Your OMBS profile?
Yes, absolutely. You're right.
Okay.
Yes, you'll need to set the environment correctly for the command to work. And as an extension to that, in version 6 of Message Broker, it's important that you run all the commands through the broker command console. To ensure that you're picking up the version 6 broker. The reason for that mainly is because of the ability of version 6 product to coexist with earlier releases. Thank you, Ron.
Thank you.
And as a reminder, press star 1 on your touchtone phone for questions or comments. And again, we'll pause just a moment. And at this time, no further questions in the queue.
Okay, thanks very much. Then this concludes today's presentation. We hope the information that was presented is valuable to you, and we appreciate your participation. Remember that a replay will be available on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site next week, and we hope that you will join us for future presentations, which are announced on this same site, the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. So thanks again for joining us today, and thank you, Prasad, for today's presentation.
Thank you.
Have a good day, everyone.